Hey, Lights, Camera, Barstool listeners, you can find us every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
All right, before we start the podcast, a couple things to go over regarding the new format of the show and the changes that are going to happen and Trill leaving. I'll try to get through this quickly because I did a bit of a bad job explaining things the other day. It was kind of a tough thing to tell everyone. It kind of blew it. Anyway, here's the deal. No, Trill did not get pushed out. I don't know why some people think that. That's not the case. This company fucking rules. They allow us to do kind of whatever we want. They allow us to be creative and try new things. In terms of they would never push him out. Anyway, in terms of Trill, though, he's just hanging up the cleats. You know, he's a man who logged off the internet and Twitter a couple years ago. This is maybe his last creative outlet in that sense. He's enjoying it. He loves to do it. He's absolutely going to miss it. He's already said that, but he's a dad, he's a husband, and he's also a guy with a real job. And, you know, it's one of those things, it's time to move on. You know, he's not 25. I wish the man was 25. He's also not 45, you get my point. Look, we respect it. No hard feelings at all. If anything, he should have hard feelings for me and Ken Jack, because we somehow kept convincing him to fucking stay. He said, I gotta hang him up. And he just kept coming around and doing the pod, enjoying it. He'll absolutely be a guest on whenever the fuck he wants. If Trill wants to come on the podcast, he can come on the podcast. That's not even a hesitation. So no, Trill not pushed out. Let's put that to bed. That's absurd. In terms of the structure of the show, yes, we will only be doing one full-on movie podcast a week. I want to clear that up. Sundays, it won't just be an interview. I did a poor job explaining this. We will, off the top, have a shorter show. Probably about an hour. Look, we lost one third of our show. Like, that's not an easy thing to just carry on and keep doing that and expecting it to be good. Call it egotistical or prideful. I will never do this show as a stripped down lesser version than what it is now. 370 plus episodes. I would rather do something new and have it fail, something fresh, and people say, don't do that, than do the old thing in a worse way and have it wither away and die. Again, call it egotistical, call it being too prideful, but I think if many people were in our shoes in that sense, you'd probably agree with the same thing. I just would never want to see the show become that. So, we're going to change things up. Ken, Jack, and I, we sit next to each other, we talk all, like, we have a chemistry, but now we have to have a new chemistry on a show. So, we're going to do an hour show or so. You'll have an interview. Yes, the interview's going to be a big part of it. We'll try to keep the interview fresh. Maybe we'll add some other twist if you want us to spice up the interview. However, the other half of the show, we'll still talk about big trailers, big movie news. We'll do a review. Maybe we'll add a whole recommendation segment. I would love to do that. We're going to find some new things. We're going to keep it fresh and different. That's what's going to happen on Sunday. It is a movie podcast on Sunday. What's happening on Thursday? Also, in terms of movie stuff, YouTube, Light Camera Bar still on YouTube. Instagram, Twitter, not going anywhere. Proud of what we've all built with that. It's a fucking awesome set of social channels if you like movies. MovieRankings.net, only going to get bigger. We're adding things finally. We had a couple hurdles we had to get through. Get over. Excited for that. The website, we're still going to do written reviews. All that shit. We're going to continue to ramp it up. We want to grow our brand. We're just doing it in a little bit of a reshuffle here. Thursdays, yes, different podcast. A bracket-based podcast. Could be worst Christmas movie. Could be best song from 1995. Best fast food chicken tenders. It could be anything. It is a light, raw, fun show. We've done a few test shows. They're on YouTube. We've done them in different environments. I love the crew. A couple people from Fictional Debates, which is on our YouTube channel. If you've never watched those, watch them. It's some of the best Trill Ballins you ever hear, if you're going to miss Trill. But that show, no bits, no gags, none of that shit. Going to be in a very LCB, Lights, Camera, Barstool type of tone. The way we present things. You're still going to be involved as the audience. It is going to feel like LCB in that sense. If you don't like it, that's fine. All I ask is you give it a try. Give it a go. Give it a spin. Still one movie podcast a week. Then something else. Pop culture, food, entertainment, movies, music, TV. We already basically do that on our show. We're just doing it in a different way. Again, if you hate it, okay. But as long as you gave it a try, I can live with that. Give it a chance. You've stayed here for 370 plus episodes. If it sucks, we gave it a whirl. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to keep it fresh. I won't lie. You know, after 370 of these things, it starts to get a little stale. So, you know, we're going to inject a little life into it, pump us up a little more. We'll see how it goes. There's still a month left to trill. We got some great guests lined up, some old cameos of guests from the past. I think Mr. Sunday Movies is going to come on. They do one movie podcast a week. It's great. That's what we're going to try to do. We're going to figure it out. Anyway, fucking Space Jam 2, man. Thanks for being a subscriber. Now fucking Space Jam 2.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my new friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, motherfucker. Say what one more goddamn time.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
He hit our son.
Happy birthday, Polly.
Oh, no, I got me some. Well,
I'm the
Joker, baby.
Welcome to Life Camera Barstool, episode 376. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Troll Ballins, and Coley Mick. Cannot believe we're about to talk about Space Jam 2.
It was one of those things that I don't know if it would have happened if the entire world didn't talk about it since LeBron basically came into the league. Like, that's all it's... His whole career, it's been like, so when are you going to do the next Space Jam? And then he was like, fine, I'll fucking do it.
In our first appearance with you back in like 2017, is that something you would have imagined that we were going to see eventually? Is the LeBron Space Jam that would actually happen?
It felt pretty inevitable. There was a small period of time where I think they could have done it with Blake Griffin. And then that came.
I forgot about that.
Very quickly. I guess you could have maybe done it with Steph. But he likes, every time he acts, he talks about sex the entire time, like when he was on Ballers. So I don't think that would have played unless he was just like railing Lola Bunny. I don't know how that would have worked.
Blake Griffin's a sneaky, very funny actor. I wouldn't have minded him at all.
He's funny. How much, like, I don't think the Space Jam like needed this particular boost, but how much of that release schedule baked in just assuming LeBron was going to be in the finals?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Was at the finals, technically speaking.
Yeah, but it's a very specific release window. Like, I mean, I know you're capitalizing on the finals in general, and it's not like it needed it because it seems like everyone has talked. This is the weekend of Space Jam.
Well, what time of year did the first one come out? Was it the summer as well?
When did they land on the new release date for the new Space Jam, though? Was it before or after the new NBA season? Because obviously this is not normally when the final, like, was it? I thought, because I actually thought the other way. I thought this was an attempt to like bridge the gap between the finals and like the draft and like Team USA and like the NBA players in Tokyo.
Huh.
Like, I thought maybe that, but I guess that got delayed as well. So I don't know. So maybe I could be wrong on that one.
The first Space Jam says it came out November 15th, 1996. And that shocks me because I could have like sworn it was summer when I saw it. It just doesn't have the Space Jam. Just doesn't have like a November release vibe to it.
When I just looked and said July.
The original Space Jam.
That's what it's.
Maybe I mean that would make no, that would
mine,
make more
mine
sense.
November 15th.
It was its original release in Budapest.
This is a Berenstain Bears effect thing.
It's gotta be. On the Google page I'm on now, it says November 15th. And then when you read the about, it says March 11th. So I don't.
no one knows. Maybe Space Jam never came out. It was like straight to video.
It was like, it was 1996. So it just took a while for it to release across the country. Like Indiana got it in 1998 finally.
So we will talk about Space Jam 2, AKA Space Jam, A New Legacy. I just don't even know where to begin. So we'll wait to begin on that. What's happening? What's going on? Kenjack has a travel story to tell. Kenjack, you're in New York. You weren't supposed to be, I don't think.
I would have been home technically for this pod, I believe. Yeah, so I was supposed to go to the finals game yesterday. Almost kind of happy I didn't. Or maybe I'm not. Maybe if I went, they would have won. I don't know. You always run through every scenario in your head of what would happen.
Yeah, it's like stepping on an ant, right?
It just sucks.
You don't know.
It just sucks, Coley, especially that you have to see a guy like Robin, a.k.a. Giannis Antetokounmpo, to like step up to the plate where Batman should have been, like Chris Middleton. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's very strange, and there's more Batman talk to be had later in this episode.
Ooh, okay, good tease.
Is this playing off some like debates going on?
Yes, well, not debates, okay. The talking heads.
Yes,
like a month ago, just rushed to be like, oh man, Giannis is really second fiddle on this team, and it's one of the more infuriating. I've been waiting for them. Sorry, Ken Jack, to win it all. No. Just so I could like fully unload on everyone. As much as I hate Chris Paul, that's taken such a back seat to how fucking stupid everyone's been about. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get what there is to hate about him. He's a very likable individual in my eyes, and everyone else disagrees. So I can't wait.
Literally nothing other than he plays. I feel like so, I think someone had tweeted this to you too. It's like, if he was just like a shooter instead of just being like a dominant inside player, like it would be totally different. But just like that style of play just isn't conducive to superstars, I guess, for whatever reason in the media's mind.
People are like, he's not that skilled. Like, he has 17 brothers, all the same size. All of them stink. So what, like, clearly. Yeah,
I like how they're all just, like, he has really, like, they all have the size. He just stole all of the talent.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He Space Jammed them.
He's only, you know, a top, I don't know, not NBA, but I'm assuming he's a top five player right now, right?
At the position of power forward, he has to be like close to the top.
But not skilled.
All time.
That's one of those things where it's just like that's the whole like sports debate now, where it's like it's just like a race to like who can get to like the two most like extreme opinions. And right. Then for something like Giannis, where it just should be like universally like, this guy is awesome. You have like, you know, people on the sports talk channels who like are being told by their producers, like, you got to go on and you got to pretend he's like not that good. And it's like, oh, fuck.
Shit.
How am I going to do that? But then they make it work, and people keep tuning into, you know, the sports talk shows. So whatever.
Exactly.
You might remember a little bit better than me, Tro. Was there like this, like, anti-Shaq agenda in 2000? Because I surely don't. I remember thinking Shaq was the coolest dude of all time. Like, I was like 11 when he won his first ring.
I remember, I don't think it was like anti-Shaq, but I think like you had to pick a side, Kobe or Shaq, right?
Okay.
And I think that's where like, but also like in 2000, I would say like the modern sports take, what do I want to call it? Ecosystem wasn't really born until like 2010. Like, and I know like those shows have been around for a while, but like until social media really took off, and then like you actually had like people watching it and digesting it. Because before you just like, you'd be at Sport Clips and you'd be getting your haircut where one does, and you just, you know, you'd have like cold pizza on or whatever they had at the time. And then people would argue about it, and you're just like, your brain is like entertained. But then now, like 2010 and beyond, like you have a place to react to it. So I'm sure if like all that stuff existed in 2020, there'd be people just being like, Shaq's really not that good. I also don't watch basketball, but I'm going to go on TV and say it.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So the story here is that, whenever I have control over my travel plans, I'm very, very specific about which airport I go out of, because I hate flying. I'm terrified of flying. So I'm very, very particular about the way that I travel on planes. And whenever I fly out of Newark. That's just always it. Both ways, Newark. I hate OGA. I hate JFK. Never going to go to either of them. So I left the airport super early. It was like a 9:30 flight. I was in Newark by like probably 8. And the second I pulled in, I pulled up my ticket, and the ticket's for JFK. And so I look at it, I'm like, well, fuck, now I'm really screwed. I'm just going to take an Uber over to JFK and just be screwed out of $100, whatever. So I'm about to take an Uber. And then my other buddy who's flying there to meet me in Phoenix, who's also a huge Suns fan, he texts me like, dude, just go to the JetBlue counter and you could probably transfer your ticket and just get another flight that's going out of Newark. So I'm like, all right, I'll risk the time. And I go there, I go up to the help desk, and the guy's like, I'm like, oh, yeah, shit, I need to go to this finals game. Like, is there another flight I can get out of Newark really fast? Like, that'll get in before like even roughly, let's say 5 o'clock Phoenix time. And he's like, oh shit, let me go find out. And he leaves the counter and just doesn't come back for half an hour. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like in limbo because I can't fucking go. If I leave and he comes back and I'm gone, there's just nothing I can do. I was just stuck there. And by the time he came back and told me, hey, the next flight isn't until 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, I was just fucked. And like, I go to take the Ubers, and by the time I get back to the Uber, now the traffic has gotten so bad because it's further into the commute time, I just couldn't get to JFK.
I think the initial advice was I think you were dished bad advice to begin. I think you should have just booked it to JFK.
Yeah, what is this? What is this, like a 1997 John Hughes movie where you can just walk straight to an airport counter and get a ticket to where you want to go?
That's exactly what I was like. I've never done anything. I'm so preordained in all of my travel plans ever that that's never something I would have considered. But I was like, okay, shit, I'll do that. Whatever. If I can get another flight here and wait a few hours, that's fine. Instead of having to potentially miss the flight going to JFK. And I should have just Ubered. Should have just directly Ubered. It would have made so much more sense. It also didn't help that the way the Newark train works is like there's no street level to get to until you get to the actual airport. And like I was in the Newark air tram spot. So like I had to take the 15-minute tram to get to the station two and waste another 15. It just sucked. And then by the time I got there, I looked up like 15 other flights in like all the tri-state area that were possibly going to Phoenix. And all of them were booked until like late in the afternoon. I was about to take a train to fucking Philly to take one that would have gotten in at 5 p.m. And the second I click book, it said this last spot on the last plane in the tri-state area is done. It's gone. And I was just fucked. And
in that movie, you know, Mike D'Antoni would have been behind him in line too, would have given up his seat. He'd be like, you know what, kid?
That's what I would see. I was at the counter.
Go to the finals, kid.
I was wearing the fucking finals hat too. I was like, some of the guy in line is going to be like, oh, I'm about to be on this flight to Phoenix, but you know what, kid, here, catch. And he just throws the tickets at me. It didn't happen. It sucks. And like I spent the next rest of the day trying to fucking sell my tickets on Ticketmaster and sold them for a very heavy loss, which was tremendous, to be honest.
It would be funny if it was just like Joe Buck for some reason. Like that's the only person they can get in the movie like related to be traveling in sports. The other thing is, look, I'm a weird dude. I'm not going to lie. I'm a weirder dude than you, Ken Jack, but you should practice flying out of other airports.
No, I can't do it.
The same.
What's wrong with JFK?
It takes super, super long for you to get there. I live right outside of Penn Station. So like I just take the train there. It's not even really like 15 minutes to get to the actual airport.
Okay, that's fair.
So it's super, it's nice. It's easy. The airport's clean. Everything moves fast. I love it. Getting out of LGA is a huge pain in the ass. And I only ever take the two company flights that I think that I've taken, they've gotten back there in both times. It's misery. And I hate flying out of anywhere else. I hate it. Both airports suck. Newark is awesome. And I don't want to do it. And for some reason, my dumb fucking brain just didn't even recognize the fact that it was flying out of JFK. And the return flight was to Newark, which is great. So at least I got one part of it right.
I'm sorry you didn't get to go to the game. I'm gonna try to be an empathetic human here and say like that sucks. But like at the same time, I just can't. I can't imagine a world walking up to an airport counter and just being like, can I go to like Phoenix Sky Harbor, please?
Dude, it was so funny. That's exactly what my train of thought was. I was like, I've never heard of any this working. I'm just assuming that like they have to have seats on some of these planes. How many people are flying to Phoenix from New Jersey right now? And they physically did not have a flight leaving there until 6:30 p.m., which is just insane, but whatever. Or even close. I was like, oh, maybe I'll fly closer or not so close to airport and I'll just drive. But nope, nothing.
Would have been like a $19,000 ticket too. Like you're flying on the Concorde.
I know. So I had to return those tickets too, which I had insurance on, but still ended up there. Like, yeah, your insurance is actually getting your money put into the JetBlue Travel Bank, which is credits.
I got insurance for the first time because I booked flights like right when the pandemic started for like Christmas or like the next January. Cause I was like, surely we'll have this figured out by then. Mm-hmm. And I got insurance on it. Cause I was like, maybe there's an outside chance. Maybe we don't have our shit together. And then I went to go cancel it. And you would have thought I was like trying to rob them at gunpoint.
It's insane.
Like the insurance does nothing. Absolutely. They're like, oh yeah, we see you bought it. And that's it. Congrats. You bought something that doesn't do any. Insurance stink. It doesn't do. I'll never buy it again.
I had to file a claim through AIG to get whatever the I guess the cancellation fee back, and they want me to fill in like five different forms of identification proving that I even bought a ticket. I'm like, I bought this through you. You should have it. This is your one thing that you're due. I paid you to do this and you're not doing it. This is tremendous pain.
I'm just imagining. It is what it
is. I basically fucked myself out of these finals tickets is the end of this, is the, yeah, is the grand story here.
All time moment. Like seeing,
I know,
close would have been so cool.
Chris Paul just dribbling down the court, looking at an empty seat in the arena where he thought Ken Jack was going to be like a scene from Liar Liar or something.
My seats were right next to the money guy too, so it would have been cool.
That's what happens. He went, who wouldn't show up to a finals game? And then that, it perplexed him so much, he turned it over. Yeah. And then later on, yeah, it's, you know, that, it's a stepping on an ant thing. You just don't know.
Yeah, that's, it's been haunting my, the entirety of the rest of my night. The way I was trying to think of it while they're playing the game was that, okay, this has to give the Suns good karma. Me getting fucked means that they need to at least be getting something out of this. And no, it didn't mean shit.
Oh, so karma. You got like doubly crushed when they made that fake comeback at the end.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. When Booker hit that last three, like running off the screen, I was like, holy shit, this is it. This is the karma coming back. And nope, nothing. Just Giannis crushing my dreams along with Drew Holiday.
I don't remember the specific time frames given in Home Alone, but I always felt like when she was trying to fly back and they're like, oh yeah, the flight doesn't leave till like 8 a.m. in the morning. And then she like goes with John Candy in the band in the thing. Like she would have made it home at the same time if she just would have taken the flight.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. They the family walks in. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like right after.
I was hoping, right, yeah. She could like gone out for a nice dinner, been like, well, you know, he'll be fine.
He'll probably be okay.
Kevin will be okay. He's definitely not being accosted by Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern.
I was just hoping
Daniel Stern. That's right.
Yeah. I was just hoping for that fucking Home Alone moment or whatever, or even though it didn't really work for her, but the Mean Joe Green moment where some kid was just going to, I was going to be like, hey kid, catch. No, it just didn't happen.
Someone wants you to ride to Phoenix. You get there next week.
Hey, kid, I'll take you.
You just get dropped off in Manitoba.
I wouldn't know the difference if I didn't see the signs, dude. I would have had no clue. Oh, but yeah, that was my disaster of yesterday.
So and fun. Wow.
Yeah, and selling the tickets for a major loss, which was fun.
Jesus. Would your friend go at least?
No, I said like, yeah, you can go. I'll see if I can find a way to meet you there. And he's like, I'm not totally psyched about going there alone. And I was like, yeah,
dude, I don't blame him. I'm just
see, I would have went by myself.
If we were I would have absolutely gone by myself.
Yeah. I know.
No question.
Yeah, I would have absolutely gone myself. I was like, I would have been fine with that. But it's one of those things where I wouldn't blame him for not wanting to go either. So he just canceled his flight and didn't go either. And we got fucked. So double fuck. Thanks, Bucks. Crushed my dreams and my wallet all in one night. You fucking assholes.
Oh, my God. All right. That was not what I expected your story to be because you didn't
know.
No,
you thought it was
going to
be like a plane crashed or something. I know. But like, no, it's much more self-inflicted wound than that.
I thought maybe you got bumped or I don't know. Yeah.
No, I would have made a tremendous stink online about that. Extremely. This was such a self-fuck that I was like, I'm going to save this for the podcast so that people can listen to it and then tweet at me that I'm a dumbass after.
I bet that guy went to the back room and was just telling all his coworkers, like, you got to see this fucking guy at the front. You will never believe
this.
This guy, I don't think he knows what the internet is.
When I told him, I was like, do you have another ticket? I have to go to the finals game. He goes, ooh. And I was like, oh, man, I'm so in. Like, this guy knows. He knows what he's doing. And nope, just didn't come back for half hour.
He just went back to the storerooms where they have just loads of physical tickets. He's like trying to look through it.
He's like calling his manager. He's like, this guy wants to buy a ticket right here. Can we do that?
$19,000. See book. What he says.
It's incredible. It's probably the first time he's ever seen that.
It would have been funny though. Well, you said there wasn't a flight, but if like you just missed a flight and it just like had three people on it.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's what my thought process was. I'm like, there's definitely a flight leaving in the next like couple hours that is definitely at least has one chair, but no, nothing.
Yeah, an airplane chair. the frequent
seat,
term we
seat,
use.
Whatever. Shut up, dude.
This episode brought to you in part by Bear Bottom. This episode brought to you by Bear Bottom Clothing. It's summertime. Go-to is Bear Bottom for wardrobe. Very high quality that is made to last, and it's not overly expensive. You got to look good in the summer. You got to look clean, got to look fresh. Versatile, everyday clothing It will be the top thing in your closet. Help you out. You're not going to be like, oh, what do I want to wear this? This is not my favorite shirt. This is old. This doesn't look great anymore. It's gone through one wash. Not with Bare Bottom. That stuff lasts. Bestie on high quality, versatile menswear. Tons of big time 5-star reviews. You can get 2 made for summer lightweight tech tees and stretch shorts for under $100. It's a fucking steal. I mean, clothes are so expensive nowadays. Awesome shorts, awesome shirts, 5.5 and 7 inch inseam shorts as well. If you're trying to get that little above the knees look there, trying to do that, show off those calves, show off those thighs, whatever you're trying to show, maybe a tan. Designed to go from couch to gym to work, play, whatever you want to do. You can wear it in any situation. That's the best. You know what clothes you can only wear in one situation? You got to be versatile. So Bare Bottom, awesome company, donated over 100,000 pairs of shorts to children in need as well. So start the summer off in a great way. They're also going to be donating school lunches for each item sold. Go to Bare Bottom, B-E-A-R, like the animal, bottomclothing.com. Free shipping on your first order. Barebottom.com. Use code LIGHTS. All right. Thank you to Bare Bottom. We're sponsoring this episode. Let's talk a little bit of movie news. Not a ton. Very light movie news this past week. The world stopped for Space Jam's release. They were like, let's let them have it. Let's let them have the moment. Antonio Banderas. True, last episode you said you want Indiana Jones to stop. Well, Antonio Banderas is going to be in Indiana Jones 5.
Mm-hmm. Do we know anything about his character?
No.
Okay.
Moving on. I remember this movie's like, I think production is either delayed or like maybe temporarily halted because remember, Harrison Ford already injured himself.
Yeah.
Which broke just seemed inevitable.
I want to know who the bad guy is going to be because like you always say like Mads Mikkelsen is in it and common logic or whatever you want to call it would say like Mads Mikkelsen is going to be the bad guy because he's Mads Mikkelsen. But we also like you're just coming off of that. What was that recent movie? The
Hitman's Bodyguard's Wife. Yeah,
where Antonio Banderas was a bad guy. But I don't think he's going to be one in this movie just because Mads is in it. So I'm just curious how this is all.
Boyd Holbrook's in it and he's like the most evil villain like face.
He's a good villain.
And accent. Toby Jones is in it. And Toby Jones
also just, bad guy vibes. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a lot of bad guys.
Antonio Banderas feels like he'd be playing a character that like has like a really cool backstory with Indiana Jones, but we're just finding out about it now.
Yes.
It's like, oh yeah, remember we did all that in like 1923? That was cool. And we're just like, we've never heard about this in any of the Indiana Jones movies.
You're 100% correct. That's what's going to happen. Also, do you remember from Sherlock Trio, Toby Jones, when he played that one villain with the really fucked up teeth?
I think so. I blocked a lot of Sherlock out. Like I enjoyed it, but my brain, it's the same way you delete games when you install Call of Duty, yeah. Cold War. My brain did the same thing for like a lot of British television.
Yeah, I respect that. And the same thing happens to me, which is that great because then when you rewatch Sherlock, it's mostly like watching it for the first time.
The Sherlock hasn't aged well. Anyway, go ahead.
What? Did Sherlock say something problematic?
No, I'm just saying that like style, like the style of like the text over the screen and him trying to figure out stuff, you know, like where it was kind of cool at the time. I don't think like when I see clips like that, I'm just like, that's very like 2020 vibe or 2012 vibes.
Let me tell you something about Polish people, Watson. They're not smart.
Did they gender swap in the show Elementary? Did Lucy Liu, did she play
Sherlock?
She's never watched Watson. Elementary. She's Watson, I think.
Okay. I didn't think so, but I just, in my head, that just
sounded like I'm pretty sure she's Watson.
Do you know the people who are writing Indiana Jones 5? Do you know their names? It's a duo.
I thought that it was the girl that did 1917, but I guess not.
Now it's they've done some movies that we've all seen, like Edge of Tomorrow, Ford vs. Ferrari. It's Jez and John Henry Butterworth. Jez, J-E-Z, yeah.
No.
Not a chance.
No, that's not a name.
Introduces himself to you, like, hey, I'm Jez.
Yeah, I'm walking away.
Come again?
That's a great, Guy Ritchie character name. Like you could see what's his name, Jason Statham playing a character named Jez in a Guy Ritchie movie for sure. No, you're not Jez Butterworth, but
you'd have a scene where it's like, what's your name again? And he's like, oh, it's Jez. You got a problem with that? No, no.
I do love the, he says, George Lucas is, I mean, I don't know how involved he will be. I imagine not much at all. However, I love the Wikipedia. It says George Lucas began researching potential plot devices in 2008, although the project stalled for years.
Mm.
I would just like to see what that entailed.
Indiana Jones should have a friend that runs a diner.
He's just at the library reading like the first three pages of every book. He's like, oh, this isn't going to work.
Make Indiana Jones, young Indiana Jones again.
Here's an exciting prequel. Coley, this one right up your alley.
Oh, boy.
A Grease prequel series, Grease, Rise of the Pink Ladies, in the works for Paramount Plus. It'll explore how Rizzo, Frenchie, Marty, and Jen came together before ruling high school in their senior year. I know you've been wanting those answers for decades.
It sounds like something that's going to be on CBS.
Yeah. I would only watch if Rizzo the Rat was playing Rizzo. I feel like he would add a lot of color and flavor that's sorely missing.
Or Rizzoli could be playing her. Boy. Whoever it was that played Rizzoli and Rizzoli and Niles.
I'm just like a 6'3" like producer with the fullest head of hair you ever seen going in to like pitch CBS on like how Gen Z is loving Grease right now. See, you won't believe it.
Showing exactly one TikTok that got like 1,500 yeah. likes. He's like, see,
there's a huge appetite for Grease right now. Everyone can't stop thinking about it.
For Grease prequels.
Grease prequels.
That's my thing. It's like, these streaming services are so strange. It's like, you don't like what is the basis for like, who is the audience? And we'll talk about this later with Space Jam. Because Space Jam New Legacy, it is a kid's movie. However, there are some things that you're just like, huh? Like, what?
Well, it's just, you don't even need an audience. Like, all you just need is stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a big big bowl full of potpourri. You just need
cosmic gumbo, so to speak.
You just need to make it look full to get people to the streaming service. Because there's a bunch of stuff on the streaming service. Oh, look, it's Grease. I know that.
Right.
I'll probably never watch it, but it's there.
Grease Live kind of ruled, by the way. Did you watch it?
I like Grease. I'm not shitting on Grease. I think Grease, I love Glee. Grease Live was fine.
I liked it. Julianne Hough and Carly Rae Jepsen, right? And I don't remember who any of the guys were, but the girls were really good.
Do you remember that Rent? The when they tried to do Rent Live and the guy who played Roger broke his leg and then they had to do the pre-recorded show. And like, yep. I felt so bad for everyone on that cast, but first and foremost, but it was also such a bummer watching the pre-recorded show because the entire thing is watching the show live.
Wait, you're burying the lead here, Trill, of live shows. The Matthew Morrison Grinch.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Horrifying.
Disgusting, that creature. Ugh.
We did tune into that, I actually think. I think we all watched
it. It was on while we were recording once.
Right, that's right, that's right.
There was already a lot, like not live, but they had a live action Grinch to base it, and they just went a completely different direction for really no conceivable reason.
Extremely sexual, that Grinch. Overly so.
That's I always like what is the term for that? Like there's got to be a theater term for that. And like you see that with Cats. Now, sometimes it's better. Like Cats Broadway is significantly less horrifying than Cats the movie, but then it's completely flipped for the Grinch. I mean, The Grinch Broadway is just awful, but like they theaterized that character and it looks so much worse.
They goosed him up a bit. I don't like it.
Well, I mean, the thing was, is like Coley was right. The whole live action, like Jim Carrey Grinch was like, they obviously had 13 hours a day to do the makeup for Jim Carrey. Whereas this one, they had 45 minutes to do the Grinch makeup for Matthew Morrison.
It's just green face makeup and those disgusting wig and eyebrows. Yeah. Oh man. And it was like his performance of it was so weird.
I think we were supposed to interview him. That's the one interview I do think they may have found out we made fun of this, and then we just never got it.
I see that.
Oh, yeah, because I went on record to say, like, I was like, What did I say about like the, I said something about the Glee cast, like the adults in the Glee cast, I should say.
When you made a joke that he stood, was it Glee or like he stood in the mirror going, this is it? Or like,
No, it was just like the like a lot of the adults in that Glee cast, like Glee was so big in like 2009 that it felt like everybody was going to go on and do like Matthew Morrison was going to ascend to a different plane and Jim Amaze and all those other folks. And I'm nothing against them, but I was just saying like, that's how it was. Remember Glee came on after the Super Bowl one year, I think it was after the Cardinals Steelers Super Bowl. Like that was that was what the Super Bowl led into. It was gigantic. So
that's when they leaked for sure.
God. What else? HBO's Last of Us series, the largest film project in Canada's history, a budget that significantly exceeds an 8-figure sum per episode.
We need the reference for that, though, right? Like, what is then the next biggest in Canada's film history?
8-figure sum per episode.
I just want to know what for Canada the next biggest is. Like, you say America, I'm immediately like, oh, fuck, that's huge. But like in Canada, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, Degrassi.
Heartland.
Heartland? Okay, what's another Kim's Convenience? I don't know. I don't know enough Canadian.
I mean, Deadpool was shot in Canada.
I was going to say, a lot's shot in Vancouver, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is per episode. You're just, okay, so it's total budget. Okay, I thought it meant like in TV history in Canada.
Well, ER, I'm looking at the most expensive TV shows ever made. ER says $13 million an episode, which probably was like $5 million for George Clooney in 1996 to just like say like stay on another year, George, please. Friends was $10 million.
But also significantly exceeds an 8-figure sum. Are they implying it's a 9-figure sum?
It's a 10-figure sum. It's the most expensive project of all time.
Like, are they saying it's just a very high 8-figure? Because that's a large difference.
You know what's going to be interesting, Charles, how they get the clicker makeup done, you know, because that's going to be like the big scary part for whatever that is revealed in Last of Us, the show. They got to do that right.
Do you think they'd do that, or you think they'd just do CGI? Like, do the CGI composite where, you know, they have a human reference actor and then they just do the, you know, the floral outgrowth?
Nah, they got to do, I think, at least semi-practical. You know what I mean? Like, part of it, I think you could do a combination, like you're saying. But I would love a full, like, just disgusting prosthesis on their person's face, especially if you're just dumping a full bunch of budget into this.
Yeah, I wonder what's so expensive about this show.
Pedro Pascal.
It's significant. Yeah, I mean, 9 figures.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I'm excited for it.
Me too. It's still got Craig Mazin, right? And it's got the guy who wrote the game, I believe, writing the movie as well, or writing the show as well. So that's huge for both.
Mystery?
Don't, what?
Wasn't he the pickup artist guy who wrote like the pickup game or like one of those stupid books?
No. Yeah, Mystery. Question mark?
I don't know. It was that pickup artist guy who wore the Dr. Seuss hat.
You remember this guy, right, Cole?
Dressed like a magician.
Yep. Yeah, he dressed like a weird magician. I think, it was a mystery or question mark. I think you're right on Mystery. But I just remember...
Well, that's Matthew Lesko.
Matthew Lesko.
That show's like a fever dream. There's another one like that where it was like... The show was called like BFF or something, and it was Brody Jenner, and it was him trying to find a new best friend.
Matthew Lesko just teaching a seminar on like dating. He's like, listen, fellas. If you want to impress a lady, all you got to do is add more question marks to your suit. You, no question marks on your suit. You're getting none. Me, 55 question marks on my blazer alone.
What do you think Mystery's real name is? He's Canadian, by the way.
It's probably like Joseph.
Eric Von Markovic.
Okay.
That's just not cool. I mean, he should have just stuck with his name, Eric Von Markovic. That sounds cool already. Why would you switch to Mystery?
You think Matthew Lesko tries to scrub every picture of him on the internet that isn't him wearing question marks on his suit? Because I see a bunch and it's horrible. I can't believe they exist. Anyway. Episode brought to you in part by Paint Your Life. I keep talking about this one, and I'll tell you what. I hope I keep talking about it. I need to get another one as well, because Paint Your Life, amazing. Not even just a gift. Get it for yourself, too. Hang it up in your apartment, your house, wherever you are. paintyourlife.com. Fantastic website. What you do, you give them a picture, anything you want. It could be a kid, family, a place you like, a pet, anything. Combine a bunch of photos, and they will get you a professional handcrafted portrait created from any photo. Very affordable price. You get a team of world-class artists. They'll work with you, all the little details, user-friendly platform as well. We'll make sure it's easy, quick, and fantastic. The process is so simple. You get the portrait in 3 weeks, and it can be anything you want. That's amazing. A great painting in your home, something new, something different, or a gift. I love paintyourlife.com. I'm going to use it again. I got one as a gift. I got one for myself as well. Paint Your Life is outstanding. And right now, also, by the way, terms at paintyourlife.com/terms. But right now, your deal will be via text. You get your money back too, by the way, if you don't like it, which I think you will. But you do get your full money back if you don't like the painting. It's completely risk-free. But limited time offering, you get 20% off and free shipping. Text the word LIGHTS, L-I-G-H-T-S, to 64-000. That's LIGHTS to 64-000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most.
Do you have dollar signs, right? He didn't have question marks.
Let's go.
No, let's go with question marks.
Do you have question marks? I'm sorry. I must be thinking of Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
when he talks. Often confuse the two, yes.
Commonly confused. Robert Downey Jr. is back.
As Iron Man.
Bob Downey. Yeah, Bob Downey is back. Will co-star in his first major TV role in an adaptation of The Sympathizer. The espionage thriller follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War. A search for the lead is underway. RDJ will play multiple characters, including an up-and-coming Orange County congressman, a CIA agent, a film director, and more.
Interesting, right? Coley, what do you think? Because I feel like you're an Avengers guy more than almost anything else.
Yeah, more than a basketball guy, he's an Avengers guy. Everybody knows that about Coley.
Dude, Coley cried during Avengers. You ever cry during a basketball game?
Yeah, when I was playing.
Cried in the fucking press screening.
I cried today. I'll cry whenever I want. It's going to be hard for me to watch him in anything. Like, he is Iron Man. That was what he said. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to view him as, because he's only done one other thing, right? The animal movie. Dr. Doolittle?
Yes, which I imagine he would love if people forgot about that.
Yeah, I've never saw it, so I have no problem forgetting about it. But, like, yeah, after watching, like, everything Disney Plus puts out, it just makes me more comfortable knowing he'll be back in the role he's meant to play.
Mm-hmm. It'll be very bizarre, I think. But, it's weird because I feel like we've seen so much stuff from, like, before... all of this, his personal life issues, like when he's playing like Chaplin and all that, like, he's a very good actor.
Oh, yeah.
Even in like solo and stuff like that, like, he's very, very good in stuff that's not Avengers related. And so it's gonna be cool seeing him get out there, you know, and off of that character and do stuff that, now that he has like so much more of this Hollywood capital, do stuff that he really, really wants to do and not just stuff he's getting paid $40 million to do.
Yeah, I mean, he's always like, I mean, that has been part of his arc, right? Like, he was a really promising young actor, and he, you know, for lack of a better term, just kind of got off the path. And the Iron Man was a big part of his like adult comeback. I mean, it was a comeback for him, right? Like, they took a gamble on Robert Downey Jr. I think there's stories out there in terms of like the studios being kind of worried about it. So he's always like, he's always had like, he's always been a very, you know, renowned actor. What streaming service is this on? Is it on HBO? Did you say that, Jeff?
HBO, okay. A24, in accordance with HBO.
So not knowing anything about this, like, you kind of feel, my idiot brain just kind of says, because it's going to be on HBO and A24 is also like working on it, it's probably going to be good.
Yeah, the pieces are together for it to be good, but. Anytime I hear characters or an actor is playing multiple characters in a movie, I'm immediately am given pause, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Do you think that, hey, like, what if he gets approached? What do you think he chooses if he gets approached for the Ally McBeal revival or Iron Man? What does he go back to first?
That's a good question. Gotta think McBeal. McBeal is going to be hot in the streets again soon. People are going to start watching that again. I'm sure it's on a streaming service.
Yeah, I think you'd do both. I think he takes some time off from Iron Man, but I think if the money talks, he'd do it. And I think for the same for Ally McBeal. I'm just waiting for Due Date 2. That movie was great because it had two of the most 2010 things in it, Zach Galifianakis and a French bulldog.
Yeah, that's true. Wow.
That's literally all the fucking what's his name? Danny McBride. They found all three of them and they were just like, we'll figure out the rest as we shoot it. Like we got no script. We've got you four. We'll figure it out like that. I don't know what happened there. That movie was wild.
Yeah. I miss going into like Urban Outfitters and just having tea towels with the silhouette of a French bulldog on it and cups with mustaches on it, shit like that.
Oh, those are the days. And but first coffee, although that's still popular if you like now. Those ones and the what do you call it? Keep Calm and Whatever on.
Oh yeah, the Keep Calm.
They're still gonna do another Sherlock Holmes, or so they say.
I like both Sherlock Holmes movies that they did.
I like the theme song for those movies.
Mm-hmm, yeah. What do you call it?
Was it Dan Strong? Danny Elfman?
I don't know. I'm just imagining the theme song being Headstrong now.
He's also going to be in. He's going to be in Jamie Foxx's movie All Star Weekend.
Wait, what? Say it again.
Robert Downey Jr. is going to be in All Star Weekend from Jamie Foxx.
Oh, I thought you meant like the actual All-Star Weekend. I was like, oh, film shit, stars
two
already.
Tow truck drivers. Malik, played by Jeremy Fox. Jeremy Fox? I did say Jeremy because also Danny, played by Jeremy Piven, who are basketball fanatics and worship their respective favorite players, LeBron and Steph Curry. Danny's girlfriend, Abby, is reconsidering the relationship as she does not want to take a backseat to his obsession. He likes LeBron that much. Like the wife is going to divorce him. The two drivers finally get a break from their dead end job when they win tickets to the NBA All-Star game. En route to the big game, Malik and Danny meet the beautiful, mysterious Asia, played by Eva Longoria, who might have her own hidden agenda. After many twists and turns, the guys find themselves and their heroes in a precarious life or death situation.
So when you first, the first part of that plot, I was like, this sounds like a remake of the 1996 American comedy film written by Judd Apatow and Colin Quinn called Celtic Pride.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. But then that got me thinking, man, it's been 30 years since I've seen Celtic Pride.
The ending made it sound like Celtic Pride again. It sounds like they're in a precarious situation with LeBron and Steph Curry.
Also starring in the movie, you have Floyd Mayweather Jr., DJ Khaled, French Montana, Benicio del Toro as Dr. Phil, a tattoo artist.
Okay.
I love that. Wow.
Gerard Butler as a Russian who loves gymnastics. And then Robert Downey Jr. as a Mexican.
Oh, boy.
Oh, he's getting back into that game.
Yeah.
Well, remember, there's a very, very viral Joe Rogan interview between Jamie Foxx and Joe Rogan, he talks about Robert Downey Jr. and Tropic Thunder. So I absolutely imagine that is tied in some sense. And then Terrence Terrell is playing LeBron James.
Jamie Foxx.
Which I love. I love that.
Who's playing Steph Curry?
What if it's a crossover and Zachary Levi's in this as Kurt Warner?
Wait, who's playing LeBron? What's the name?
Terrence Terrell.
Terrence Terrell. How much do they actually look like LeBron?
Have you ever seen
anyone? Holy shit.
Holy shit.
Wow.
He kind of does look like LeBron. Wow.
Oh my God. He really does. That's not that far off. What the fuck? Like, I expected him to look nothing like. I expected to be like Cuba Gooding Jr. with O.J. Simpson or something. But like, this isn't as far off as like I would expect.
He's got like the same like eyes kind of.
Yeah. Like the same eyes and the same like the fake hairline, you know what I mean? Like that's like way up.
His is slanting up, but like how tall is this guy?
Definitely not. I mean, I'm assuming there's going to be some Hollywood magic behind that.
Here's a, you can go to this article. 10 things you didn't know about Terrence Terrell, and one of them says for Terrell, his doppelganger is a very famous icon, LeBron James.
You may have heard of him.
Oh, he's in Be Positive.
Oh, wait. Okay.
That's that CBS sitcom with Thomas Middleditch.
I forgot about that. Yep. Where he gets the kidney from the lady who sucks or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the pitch in the meeting.
Like literally, that's all the commercials have told me.
Oh, he's also in Bosch.
Bosch rules. I don't remember him in Bosch, but I'm also not caught up. So
said everybody ever.
Dude, Bosch is awesome. Don't shit talk Bosch. He'll find you.
And then lastly, Black Adam has officially wrapped production with The Rock.
How many of The Rock's gates fell victim to being torn down so he could have finished this production in time? Did you hear about this, Coley?
No.
Oh, so The Rock put up a picture on his Instagram probably like a few months ago now. And it's probably a fucking year ago now. But he basically, it was just a picture of the gate in front of his house torn down to shreds, broken off the brick. And he was like, yeah, I was late to my shoot and my gate wouldn't work. So I tore it down with my muscles. And then left and got there in time. And it was funny. I remember Tro, you saying, it's like, yeah, you know, you're The Rock. They'll wait for you to start filming.
That and your security gate definitely has a camera on it. So let's see the video.
Right. Exactly. He rammed it or something.
I know either way, it was, if he tore it down, it was cool. And if he rammed it with his car, it's cool too. Like what he did is cool. Like breaking a gate to get somewhere is cool.
Very cool.
Exactly. But they would have waited for him because he's The Rock. You know, you can't make this movie without him. He's the talent.
He's Black Adam. You can't just
The Rock replaces Black Adam after years of delay because he showed up late one day. Also, he had a cheat day today. Oh, wow. Sunday and cheat meal breakfast. People are hip to him because he's not doing his crazy ones as he used to.
Mm-hmm.
His famous banana coconut pancakes and rock toast with a with a twist.
We had that game back in high school.
Oh God.
All right.
Let me tell you, Jabroni, you don't want to be the last one to finish.
It's insane. Like The Rock's just a human being that lives among us. Like that.
I know.
It blows my mind, freak. Like, what is how?
It's crazy. He's like larger than life, man.
Yeah.
Hard not to love him.
He's gonna be president someday. And yeah. It's going to happen. Also the thing though, if like I'm going against The Rock in a presidential debate, the first thing I'm asking him is why does his energy drink smell bad? I've had it and it tastes,
Zona?
It tastes okay, but it smells bad.
Like, so I don't even think it tastes okay. I didn't like the taste. And he did something, which also, Cole, you'd have a good take on this. What did he do with his energy drink, Trill?
He poured it into a glass. Like it's a
over ice.
A 2008 Chateau Margaux.
And he drank it. He's like, delicious.
Yeah, I feel like an energy drink loses like 75% of its potency the second it leaves the can. You can't put it in another canister of any kind. Like it all of the Red Bull or Monsters, like it's in the can. The can has the energy.
Mm-hmm. It's the sizzle from the carbonation. It's like once it stops being in that can, it dissipates and you don't get the same pop from it. And I don't know. Like I didn't hate the way it tastes, Ken Jack. I just like because it's all natural or it's, you know, made with natural ingredients. I don't think it's all natural. It's just made with natural ingredients. Whereas the energy drinks I usually drink are made with like battery acid and runoff from, you know,
Three Mile Island,
just glue plants. I'm just not used to it's smelling like kind of, it smells kind of like medicine. It's you know, whatever. People might like it though. That's fine.
It smells like pennies. I don't like that.
Do you think The Rock will just go city to city while he's running, like still doing like this is my hometown, or will he finally pick a hometown?
Ooh.
I don't know how he pitches it. Does he even need to campaign? Really? Like I don't think he needs to go to Iowa and be like, hey, I'm The Rock. Like, you know, well, it's like, oh, we know you.
I think it's cool. Like, I mean, he traveled a lot, right? Because, you know, of his dad being a wrestler and all that. So, like, you know, I think part of it is like definitely the show is his thesis statement for, I don't know. It's kind of like the same way, like a lot of people will write a book about their life and say, this is my introduction to like generally my story, the way I want to tell it. And the new way to do it is just make a show about yourself, which is genius. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know if he has like, I just think he shows up and people are just like, that's The Rock. I love him. And that's all he has to do.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Just show up. I think people would vote for him.
Oh, easily.
I can't think of a single human being on earth that could beat him in an election straight up.
Just wait until the first in one of the debates when somebody tries to do like a can you smell what the Rock is cooking yep. type. Oh.
Oh, the Rock is proposing a cut to certain stimulus packages that would greatly impact the plastics.
It doesn't
industry.
Matter what your stimulus is.
Rock, I don't smell what's cooking there.
yes. Yes.
I mean, you know, that's what it sounds
beautiful.
Like.
Beautiful. Like,
yeah. It's absolutely. Oh, jeez.
Just like video is leaked from The Rock. And it's just the shut up bitch video.
that's all time. That's one of my favorite reaction videos ever.
Yeah. You can hear how troubled the announcer was. And it's like, oh, ah!
Dropping the people's elbow.
On
domestic terrorism.
That's it. That's it for news. Well, I guess we got to do this now. We got to talk about Space Jam. Space Jam, A New Legacy. A standalone sequel to 1996 Space Jam has almost nothing to do with the original. Next to nothing. 10% has to do with the original movie. Maybe 5%.
Yeah, I was going to say 10's high.
It's not even about space.
Computer Jam.
There's no space except for the cyberspace.
There have been many sequels that were in development that didn't happen, including Race Jam, Golf Jam, Skate Jam, which
they didn't call the first one Basketball Jam. Like, why would that is the space aspect?
I'll never, like, I get it, but also I don't. I don't know if the people at Warner Brothers knew that Jam was a reference to jamming a basketball on a dunk.
Highlight Jam.
Skate Jam kind of works because I feel like jam, yeah. You know, you jam a sesh of skating, and that's like a word I've definitely seen in a skating video game.
Skate Jam sounds okay, but like yeah. Race Jam.
What's the difference between Space Jelly Golf and Space Jam? Yeah.
Obviously Jeff Gordon, Tony Hawk, Tiger Woods, a lot of names thrown around.
the most charismatic on-screen personality of the last 30 years. Jeff Gordon.
No, you got to get Tony Stewart on that. He should have been the go-to.
Ah, man.
My lawyers have advised me to
get Jim Bay.
Oh, wait till we get to the draft.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just wait.
Bob Blake Griffin was his name was tossed in there by Michael Jordan in a very Michael Jordan spiteful comment like 5 years ago. I think it was maybe even referenced like a fucking commercial or something. I think it was. That could be Berenstain burying that one as well. Anyway, they made this. There was a lot of production issues. Literally, like the original director left. Started filming in 2019. Malcolm D. Lee ended up doing the movie, who we recently talked to. Who else was involved? Like, I'm trying to agree to
wasn't
the whole
Coogler
thing.
Wasn't Coogler originally supposed to direct?
No, Coogler was involved still.
And he was producer, right?
Yeah. Justin Lin was the original director. He backed out. Kobe actually.
Jr., like, attached at one point, I think.
Who?
Or like
who?
His, it was Stephen Caple Jr.'s name floated around at one point for this.
I don't know. I think we may be saying that because of the Cleveland connection, but I don't know. Terrence Nance was then going to possibly direct. He left. They had a lot of weird stuff. They like stole a logo online with their Twitter account. Yeah, it's just weird.
And he has a writing credit on the screenplay still, by the way. So there, I don't know what the process was like there, but there's credit given to Terrence.
Yeah.
Nance.
Yeah. And then Nance left in July of 2019. And then this is where we will talk about this. We'll get into this part. He was leaving the project because he and the studio / producers had different takes in the creative vision for Space Jam 2. I wonder what the differences were. I wonder where the studio maybe wanted something different. Cause it's this movie is it's stunning. It's not stunningly terrible. I want to note that. I'll say that off top. It's not like bottom of the. I'll say now, not a good movie. However, it's not like really bottom of the barrel zero, like scary movie 10 trash. It's not. Right. But it's shocking. Like there are some things I was like, what the fuck is happening? Anyway, they finally made it. They just released it. It's on HBO Max. You can also see it in theaters. It is not critically acclaimed. 31% Rotten Tomatoes approval rating. Audiences seem to like it, 81%. I assume kids like it. I think that's what it seems. It's colorful. It's fun. It's LeBron. It's an hour and 55 minutes. It's 2 hours long, which is a significant difference from the original movie, which I think didn't even eclipse 90 minutes.
No, I want to say it was like 85.
Yeah.
it was an hour and 27 minutes. This movie stars nobody from the original movie.
Larry Bird.
Michael Jordan.
Price's role.
Yeah. No Wayne Knight. I know everyone was hoping that Patricia Heaton would make her.
and Jane Castle. Well,
the only real references we got were like Bugs Bunny did a, you know, kind of a fourth wall break, right? With hasn't this been done before or joke like that? Maybe we got another one with Lola Bunny, like been there, done that. Like that's really, which was kind of weird to me because like, you think they would have talked about what they'd done before a little more.
The whole they had to re-explain basketball. Like they had a whole scene, which they did in the first one. That annoyed me. Like they know they've played basketball before.
At a high level.
And that's where it's a standalone in a sense that like this was very clearly a movie where they're like, we don't think kids have ever seen Space Jam. This is their Space Jam, which is fine.
Yeah.
But
in a movie that's like pimping all of Warner Brothers IP, don't you think they'd want to bring up the first one?
That's what assume. I was kind of like a little surprised about. Yeah. Anyway, Ernie Johnson's in it with Lil Rel Howery, who maybe Chuck said no.
They just would have gone to like the same way they went to like the Matrix planet would have been an original Space Jam planet, and it just would have like folded upon itself and created a black hole. It was like a ring like effect for the audience where we would die in 7 days.
It's just Michael Jordan gambling. This is all he's doing. LeBron's in it, obviously, as a very fictional version of LeBron. Pokes fun at himself a couple times. Don Cheadle's in it as Al G. Rhythm.
They stole that from Al Gore Rhythm from Futurama. I just want to note that.
He's an evil computer AI. LeBron's not his actual kids are in it. Sonequa Martin Green plays LeBron's fake wife, that's what happened with Space Jam. Though I assume like many people growing up, I just assumed those were Michael Jordan's kids and family. I was devastated when I found out they weren't.
I totally side with the decision of like the fictionalized family, but it does. The only point I'm trying to make is it does show the difference in like the progression of media and social media and how much we know about famous people between like when Michael Jordan played and now, because like we know way too much about LeBron James because we get the Taco Tuesday videos. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but like we know way more about LeBron James than we did with Michael Jordan when he was the same age. Like it's a different media landscape. And that's why I sympathize a little bit with LeBron James, because I think that probably is harder to deal with. But at the same time, like I totally like get why you just would like not want to bring your family into a movie.
Also,
they are famous though. Like, you know, like Bronny's famous.
Right. That's the other thing. It's like you, even if it was an option, like you can't. I mean, LeBron James Jr. is a now well known. I mean, he's a famous person.
Pro athlete.
Great tweet.
Yeah.
Whose kid is that?
Hey, who's out there wearing number zero?
Yeah. James Jr. Who is that?
Nah, that ain't him. He's not wearing 23 or 6. Yes. So a fictionalized version, though the kid who gets into shit in this is based on Bryce James, the younger one.
Right.
Who now is apparently also good at basketball. There's been some recent videos of him just like Euro stepping around all younger kids. So Space Jam, And here's the let me just give you the synopsis one more time, and then we'll give our scores and talk about this. Whatever happened. LeBron and his son Dom get trapped in a digital space by a rogue AI to get home safely. LeBron teams up with Bugs, Daffy Duck, and the rest of the Looney Tunes. The rest of the Looney Tunes? It's like six of them, by the way.
Yeah, not a lot.
The Looney Tune we know and love, Gossamer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I said. Gossamer.
I've long pined for more Gossamer content. They made him look terrible. Terrible for poor Gossamer.
He gets so much screen time compared to, like, if you asked me to name the 10 Looney Tunes, I would not return it with Gossamer.
0% chance.
I would. 1,000%.
For me watching this, I was like, oh, that's his name. That's where I was at in Looney Tunes.
Gossamer was at the tier of Looney Tunes character that he was put on the kids' rides at Six Flags. Yeah. Like Gossamer's wild journey. And then, you know, you got Bugs Bunny coaster. You know, you got your A-listers headlining the big ones.
Definitely not an A-lister, but I've always liked Gossamer.
Mm-hmm. That's fair enough.
I'm glad you got your moment with Gossamer then.
Well, no, they made him look like a dickhead.
And they have to go up against a game against AI's digitized champions of the court, a powered up roster called the Goon Squad. Weird movie.
Which the Goon Squad. And I'll save it. Never mind. I'll save it.
So my rating for Space Jam, I'll give some context. Coley, you won't love it. 67 out of 100. I am in the camp of like, yeah, I don't think Space Jam is great. When Space Jam got the job done, it was corny. And I do think I've seen a lot of detractions about Space Jam. They're like, well, the original Space Jam stunk as well. Like, yeah, I think the original Space Jam got the job done a lot better than this one did though. This movie is just, I just don't think it's simply any good. And I also think there's a couple things that take away from the idea that it's a kid's movie. It's that weird mix. And the original has that too. It was like a Pulp Fiction. Like there is stuff in the original that is definitely for adults, right? Like the whole Wayne Knight character and like Larry Bird and all, like it's an adult thing, but not very good. I would say rather bad. I give it a 35 out of 100. I don't think it's bottom of the barrel. It's ain't Tom and Jerry, you know, in terms of like similar kids movies released this year. But I think it's a bad movie, and Kendrick can go next, but I'll make my biggest thing this. And I love long movies. I never knock a movie for being too long. Very rare. This movie was way too fucking long. Holy shit. The game was when they got to halftime in this game, I checked the bar and see, I was stunned. I could not fucking believe it when they got to halftime. And there was like an hour left.
Yep.
I had to go to my fridge and get Gatorade for myself.
Ken Jack, I gave it a 35. What do you give it?
Okay, so I ended up giving it a 32. And I think as a qualifier to talk about it, kind of like you were doing, Jeff, you just need to note that I think, at least for me as well, I'm not a huge Space Jam 1 like defender. And I think that like this review is going to be a lot of us shitting on this movie for like its commercial feel and its corniness and overall like dumpy quality. But I do think there a lot of those elements aren't a super far cry from the original. I think I gave the original like a 55, 56, something like that. But I think that something that you have to note about this movie and the old one is that both of these are commercial movies in a sense. Like the original Space Jam was based off of a commercial or came to be because of a commercial as well. But I do think that there is like an element in like the sellout quality of both movies that is like very distinct. And I think we should like try to narrow that down in a sense. And for me, I think the biggest difference was just the amount of moving parts. Like this movie is so like overstuffed and less simplistic than the original movie and over almost to the point of like sensory overload and like the algorithm thing, the like the kids family subplot with the video game design kid thing too. And like just the overall sheen of like the settings that they're in, like everything, it just turned me off to a sense. And one of the bigger disappointments of the movie for me was that I just expected more from LeBron because I know he can act better than he did in this movie. Like you've seen him in Trainwreck and other movies and commercials, whatever else, like he can act pretty good, way better than fucking Michael Jordan ever could. And just so that kind of bummed me. I think the rest of the cast was fine, but I just think he's so much more charismatic than we were given in this movie. And despite when you look at them, if you compare them head to head, obviously like Michael Jordan is just so much cooler, but I do think you can give LeBron like he has a huge charisma bump. And that I don't think they highlighted that enough. I think the commercial feel to this too is just something I couldn't shake. It felt like a WB upfront. more or less. Like, it was just like very bizarre in that sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll get more into it. So once we go through our initial thought, that's the first thing I want to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree on LeBron, though. There was actually moments, and I'll let you go next, and Coley, where I was like, I forgot this is a LeBron movie. Like, there's moments where you're like, this is LeBron's movie. And it just didn't feel like it. Trill, what'd you give it?
So I give it a 45. That's roughly on par with my feelings about the original Space Jam. Obviously, I'm going to like the original Space Jam more because I was 12 when I watched it. This movie, it's weird to describe. It's like, you know how in some video games you have two health bars, and like one health bar is your physical damage, and then the other bar is like a radioactive meter for like how you're accumulating like radioactive damage. I feel like this movie was doing a lot of that secondary radioactive damage to me as it progressed. And like, what I mean by that, there were things that, and like, not like, and I'm not like being serious, but like just on a, like a kind of like joking level, like when you see the Austin Powers go, yeah, baby. And then you have the scene where Elmer Fudd walks in as mini me, and then I'm fine with that. And it immediately cuts over to Sylvester the Cat as Mr. Bigglesworth. it adds damage to that second damage bar that is like, it's like on like, I don't know, maybe it's effect. Like, maybe it's like a cringe meter, right? And I hate to use the word cringe because it's, you know, I'm too old for that. But it like, there are these moments in this movie where it's just like, it's like the culmination of like a lot of these gags that are obviously based on the WB properties. And we can get into that discussion because I think I have a little bit different of a take on it. It made me feel weird. It just like, it was like it accumulated that radioactive damage. Like it was like, I was a psychic damage or something like that. But even the movie itself, like I thought, you know, I didn't give it a 20. I gave it a 45. Like, I think there were some really entertaining parts of it, but ultimately it's a Space Jam movie. And same as the original, it's cartoon characters playing basketball. And there's a separate conversation about who it's for, but since it's a movie, I think it's fair to watch it and give your grade on it. I didn't love it, but also this is what I was expecting. I was expecting this shit. I wasn't like disappointed because this is exactly what I thought we were going to get.
So I love the original Space Jam. I think that's fairly known about me. I've never given an official rating, but I'd probably come in like 75 to 80 just as a movie, no other prerequisites. This one, I set my expectations at the floor, very low. And I enjoyed it. I'd give it like a 53, honestly. I thought it was pretty enjoyable. My biggest complaint was it didn't, like with the original Space Jam, it was very much, Here's Michael Jordan. Here's why he's in this alien world helping the Looney Tunes. And now they have to defeat this enemy who had slavery on the table. Like there were big, like there was a lot at stake in the original Space Jam. There never felt like there was a lot at stake in this one. They kind of just threw in the fact that like, oh yeah, all the Looney Tunes will die. Like that was like even Daffy Duck was like, well, we got out of this unscathed. And then they were like, oh no, yeah, I'm going to kill you. So that was like my biggest complaint was like at the whole first like 45 minutes, since it was terribly long, I was like, well, what's the point? Yeah, they got sucked into these computers. LeBron hates his son hates his dad. Like, great. But like, what? Why is like there was no real reason they needed to play a basketball game. Even when they were like, oh yeah, I guess I'll play you in basketball, LeBron was like, yes, that's what I do, I'll play you in basketball. Like that was so, like Michael Jordan, they like used his competitiveness as to why he would want to play in this fucking game. They used real world elements. This was just like, yeah, I guess LeBron, he's LeBron James, we'll play him in a basketball game. Like that, it didn't seem like a necessary plot device here. Like basketball was the main reason for Space Jam 1. This was just like, yeah, I guess LeBron will play his son in kind of basketball. But with all that being said, like there were multiple parts where I was like smiling, enjoying myself, laughing. There were like the Michael Jordan gag, I'm sure we'll talk about, I enjoyed. Like I you saw it coming.
You're talking about that. It was funny. I laughed.
Right. And it was like, I was thinking about this the other day, like modern comedy, like everyone sees the misdirect coming, but it can still be enjoyable. And that, you knew it wasn't, you knew fucking Michael Jordan wasn't walking out.
And when you knew who the other Michael Jordan was, it was still enjoyable. I think if you're like my biggest thing, the reason I like the first Space Jam so much isn't even necessarily because of Michael Jordan. It helps. But I just fucking like the Looney Tunes. And like we said earlier, there's just a dearth of Looney Tunes in this movie. That was, and I get kids don't watch Looney Tunes anymore, but since that is the Space Jam lore, there should have been more Looney Tunes. That was my biggest gripe with it.
And I mean, Coley, you're 33?
One.
I'm sorry, man. I dated you.
I look bad.
Well, so you know, I'm you don't look bad. I just like you have a similar sensibility and like taste like the Looney Tunes as I do. But like I'm only saying that because you know when I was like in 1990, I don't know, I was like 6, 5 or whatever. All you really had on were like two channels. You had like Nickelodeon, which like turned over to like Nick at Night at like a later time, and you ran out of cartoons and maybe one other, but like. Around like 6 or 7 or whatever, before they let into the Nick at Night programming, they would show the Looney Tunes or like on one of the channels. I don't know if it was Nickelodeon, but it's like, so like I did kind of like watch a lot of Looney Tunes growing up just by virtue of that, like not really like getting too attached to the Looney Tunes, but like Looney Tunes were like, especially when you consider the time period that they were produced in, like very, very clever. Very funny and very entertaining for kids. And I don't feel like, you know, kids these days, they have so many other entertainment options just by virtue of having these options. Like, I don't think the Looney Tunes are as prominent. Like, they're still there. Obviously, Bugs Bunny is huge. So like going back to your comment of like loving the Looney Tunes, like in the original Space Jam, that was cool. Like, you know, cause like, I remember, you know, Bugs Bunny wearing the Viking costume or whatever, and like all the gags from, you know, all the Merry Melodies ones and all those things like that. And I loved how they always implemented music and whatever. My biggest thing is like, I sometimes didn't feel like they felt like the Looney Tunes in this movie. And yeah. I don't know how to put my finger on it. Even like the Bugs Bunny voice didn't feel exactly like Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
I can't quantify it, but it just I do think like in terms of the looniness of the Looney Tunes, the original Space Jam was a little more on brand than this one was from a Looney Tunes perspective.
The original Space Jam poster, it was a split. There was a face off of Michael Jordan and the headlining names were Jordan and Bunny. It wasn't fucking Danny DeVito. It was Jordan and it was Bunny. This was James and Cheadle. So it was, it's just not the same. And like another thing I have written down is just like, I don't think this movie's biggest problem was ever going to be, I mean, with the public, of course it was, but for me, it was never going to be Jordan versus LeBron. It was always like Wayne Knight did so much in the original Space. He was a fucking huge star when that came out. Like he had just come out. Jurassic Park was before that. Yeah.
'93, yes, yeah,
it was. Yeah, so he had already done Jurassic Park, Seinfeld. Obviously, like Wayne Knight was known, and he was like one of the biggest comedic actors in the original Space Jam. They didn't even try to replace Wayne Knight in this movie. Like LeBron's assistant, whoever the fuck that was, like he had one or two lines the whole movie. Like they didn't even try to have that carryover.
How could they even, right? Because it was already so overloaded with so much stuff. There was just so much stuff, so much sensory overload in this movie. And that was just that I think, again, the overstuffed nature of the movie, I think, is what detracts from it more than anything else. And that led to the over the way too long runtime, the too long like explanation of all the shit going on the outside. I'll agree with you guys, both of you, in that I do think that the decent chunk of the humor landed across different age ranges. Like there was stuff that I chuckled at as like a 28-year-old dude, but also stuff where like you were saying, true, like I'll be like a little cringy at or whatever, or groaned at, but like at the same time I was cognizant that if I was a kid, I would love that joke. If I was a kid, I would have thought this was hilarious or funny or goofy, and that would have been great. And I think to the discussion of the age range and like who this is made for or whatever you want to call that, like I tweeted out, like, I think if this movie is appealing to kids, then it's success or whatever you want to do, whatever else you want to say. And I got like DMs and tweets, whatever, people saying like mixed emotions in that, like, oh, my kid game paid attention. Oh, my kid like loved this. That was the best. Like, I think if you have kids saying like, this is amazing and I love this and like that, then I think that is almost exactly what they want out of that movie. They weren't making it directly to appeal to us as nostalgia heads, because that's a losing battle. They would have never won that battle at all. So I think they made a good movie for what they were attempting to make. It's just not a good movie, objectively speaking, if that makes sense.
Yeah. My father's biggest complaint, because he was the one who took me to see the original Space Jam, he knew how big of a deal it was for me when I was 6-7 years old. His biggest complaint for years was that it was the loudest movie he
ever That's right. You said that. Yeah.
This, like when I was hearing like Trill talk about how much was jammed into it, like it wasn't loud in like an audio sense, but it was like very loud visually with how much was going on.
When they were whipping through all the WB properties and like the plant, it's just like, what the fuck? It was so, and let me go through a list of, because this is the biggest issue of the movie for me, is that it just did not feel like it was Space Jam. It felt like a massive Warner Brothers commercial, and that had to be the reason why Terrence Nance left the project, right? Like, it had to be. It just didn't feel like anyone had control of this movie, and they were like, and I don't know, like, maybe Malcolm D. Lee was brought in. They're like, hey, this is what it is. If you want to direct it, direct it. If not, we'll go somewhere else. Like, all right, sure. Like, I mean, again, at that point, how do you say no? That's kind of like, it's not really what he said, but like, you know, he said, I thought I'm maybe not doing it and all that. So it's just, it's such a large commercial. You have directly named properties: Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, Mad Max, The Matrix, Casablanca, The Wizard of Oz, King Kong, The Iron Giant, Rick and Morty. The Rick and Morty thing I did laugh at as well. And the DC.
That was one of the worst ones for me.
It was, but it also, like, it was so unexpected for me, because there are parts too where you're like, oh, I don't even really realize they own that. So when they showed up, it was pretty. Although, another gripe though, if they're going to let Don Cheadle swear, why not let Rick swear?
Right? I forgot. I didn't even remember that.
Well, the Rick and Morty thing also, like, I mean, I think it was just bad because it was like, it was almost like, hey, Rick and Morty lovers, here's Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
But Rick and Morty also, like, there's like a PSA for anti-vaping with Rick and Morty now too. So it's just like, they've already gone down this road of like, you know, whatever you want to call it, like get your bag or whatever. So
for
like,
me, it was one of the things that actually, I don't know, like it kind of felt like it fit, I guess. I don't know.
So you took me out of it for a second, because it was just such a curveball that I didn't see coming. I was like, whoa. Like, you might as well just put Conan on the screen. They own all of his IP
too. That would have been, oh my God, imagine that.
You might be right though, because it was better than seeing Pennywise courtside.
Right. True. And here's the other ones. Within the crowd scenes for the game include numerous cameos. Here you go. Ready?
Including your namesake, Trill. He's in there.
Including but not limited to Pennywise from It, the Droogs from A Clockwork Orange.
Crazy.
Classic.
That was, I mean,
classic,
we knew about
kids
that.
Kids movie, A Clockwork Orange.
Mm-hmm.
Stripe and the Gremlins from Gremlins, Beetlejuice, RoboCop, despite being an MGM property, Yogi Bear, Boo Boo Bear, Dick Dastardly, Muttley, and Penelope Pitstop from Wacky Races, the Flintstones, the Rubbles, the Great Gazoo, which I do love the Great Gazoo. Glad the Great Gazoo could slip on in there. Another one of my favorites, Top Cat. Love Top Cat. Glad Top Cat could sneak in there. Scooby-Doo and the rest of Mystery Inc. That seemed to be the Scoob, like the Scoob fellas.
Cinematic universe.
Yeah. With Mark Wahlberg.
Part of me wonders, like, if you're like a visual artist on this movie, like, were you just working out of the Ready Player One asset folder for a lot of?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Jetsons, Jabberjaw, Magilla Gorilla, Captain Caveman, Gloop, Herculoids, yep. Frankenstein Jr. and Buzz Conroy.
Kids List love, from kids Interview love with that the one. Vampire.
Space Ghost, which I do love Space Ghost. Mitor, Yakko, Wakko, and Dot from Animaniacs. Gandalf, Frodo, and Gollum. The Iron Giant. Thundercats. Mama Fratelli from The Goonies. And this... for another one for the older crowd, Baby Jane Hudson from Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, The Mask, and then Tony Soprano. It was just, but my thing is that, like, I get why a lot of them are in there, but I think if you're going to do it, at least make it, I don't know, better, at least make it more enjoyable. I feel like they could have, with as much time as they had, they raced through like the one kind of funny, like I liked that. Like it was dumb. Like the Mad Max thing is insane in like a movie. Like as a kid, like,
I thought that was the best out of all of them.
It was, I liked it, but it didn't, you're like, what the fuck?
No.
But you just wish like there were more of, I wish there was more of that. I think they raced through the best part that they had.
Yeah, LeBron was just wearing wizard robes at one point. Like, if they had actually spent time on, like, if they had just picked three planets, that would have been, like, to find where the Looney Tunes were. Like, why was Foghorn Leghorn Daenerys? Like, spend a little bit more time on those planets. That, like, I think they did the best one. I said it was the Mad Max one. That was two. I think the Wonder Woman one with Lola Bunny, just the way that was animated, the way you merge into that world, I thought that was really cool, like visually, and like there was a little bit of a story there. I thought that was the best that they handled any of those. The rest, they just kind of whipped through, and then they didn't really make reference to anyone outside of King Kong, which made me laugh. That was like the only, like when he does the PG Denzel line. From Training Day, and King Kong's just like, ah, geez, I thought no one saw me here. That was the only like time they made reference to anything. Like, I don't know. Like having them in the crowd, I don't mind, but if you're gonna make this big spectacle of it, like they could have done a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. There's a way to do it with like a nuance, or at least like you were saying, like the more attentive focus to a couple of properties other than just like trying to stuff everything in all at once, like as fast as possible. Don't stop for any reason. That was like a big mistake. I totally agree with you there.
I also think you guys need to, you need to go back and retroactively subtract like 5 to 10 points from whatever you gave Into the Spider-Verse, because this is their fault. This is on Into the Spider. That movie being as successful as it was, now everyone thinks they can just do it without like actually doing it, because they mentioned the Cyberverse or whatever the fuck they called it no less than 1,000 times. They clearly don't know what that means, because they were just like,
agreed,
oh yeah, all of our stuff lives in this computer just like Spider-Man. Like, yeah, well, not quite.
Then you should subtract a bunch more points from, because we did like 15 skits involving the Spider-Verse, and all of which involved a rendition of you.
Yours were more thought out than this.
I mean, this one's bad. You get like Rami Malek's character from The Little Things is courtside. Like they're just dumping like all the properties. Yeah, it'd be,
what if they really sold out with like, and they did just do recent pro? It's like, yeah. Like next, we're gonna go to
Ben Affleck's world. The Way Back character is the coach of like, I'm not gonna point any fingers at Spider-Verse, because I think this movie was more, I think it was more along the lines of like Ready Player One, and I think it just goes back and like I know there's like a conversation. It's like, yeah, like it's an ad for like Warner Brothers, right? Especially now that like streaming is there and like whatever, you know, HBO Max or whatever's on that, and you get all these properties, you know, love, so on and so forth, are all on the server. I think the design choice is just like, that's kind of like where we're at. Like this is how these things get made now. And goes back to Ken Jack's comment where it's like, you don't really have to like think about it when you're being overwhelmed with stuff. And that's just the design choice of this movie. It's like, we're just going to barrage you with the stuff you already know. Like, you know, these things, like your brain doesn't have to work too hard to think about it. Like you see it and there's a little chemical reaction up in your brain that's kind of like tickles it and says, I know the Matrix. I know that movie. that's it right there. Like, I know Harry Potter or even some of the other like references. I mean, you know, obviously they went into the big properties like the Foghorn Leghorn riding the dragon was just, again, that filled up the radioactive bar a little more.
Oh, yeah.
It's the stuff like that. But I also think like it's just kind of like the time. I think as we look back on like this sort of thing, like, and we call it like the Game Master Anthony style of bringing all the characters together to give people the stuff they like. Like there's a lot of people who enjoy that and maybe not enjoy it from like, this is a what I'm looking for way, but it's just like, if you just put a lot of stuff there, it pleases your brain in a way that like, you don't really have to work too hard to like please it by providing entertainment with like a competent story or anything more than that. So like, I go back and forth because like, yeah, obviously they want to highlight like, oh yeah, look at all the great things Warner Brother owns. But then also it's just like, it's just, that's how things are now. We're getting all the characters together. We've seen it in a lot of different properties, and I'm trying to like come up with like off the top of my head, but like, certainly like Marvel's been big in that. And even though they're still in the same Marvel Cinematic Universe, they do it a lot with just putting all the characters together on the screen.
Yeah.
And it works for them. And I, you know, did it work for this movie? Like, I don't know. And that goes back to the other question is like, who's this movie for? Is it for kids? Is it for adults? And I just landed on both. It's like, it's for people who watch Space Jam as a kid to watch Space Jam again. And it's also for kids to watch cartoons playing a video game version of basketball, and that's okay. It wasn't good for me.
It just feels very, for me, the whole thing is incredibly unfocused, right? Like I do think the original Space Jam, while again for me, I mean, look, in without the rose colored glasses of me as a kid, I had the Monstar spaceship. Like I love that. Like I loved the movie. Like it's not whatever, not a great movie. It's fine, but It was at least focused. It got the job done. It got done what it wanted to do for audiences. And it had a little bit of both for everybody. Looney Tunes fans, adults, a lot kids. And I'm sure this will satisfy many youngins out there. I've seen a lot of tweets about it as well. People said like, hey, my kids watch it. They love it. They love LeBron now. Like, that's awesome. But there is an element where this is absolutely for, in a small sense, it is absolutely for adults to an extent as well. And that's where like, you kind of have to criticize it in that sense. And my biggest thing, it's the two things. One, it's just entirely too fucking long. I could not believe that was halftime. It's stunning. Yeah. And it felt like a commercial. In terms of the basketball game itself, it's like an hour. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. And also like, the basketball element was such a fun part of the original Space Jam. And like, it wasn't a basketball game. And like, yeah. I get like they made it different, and like the idea of like how the characters get in there, like, you know what, that's it. I don't love it, but it's at least something different and creative. Like, you can't just redo Space Jam, right? What's going to be stealing it? But like, a lot of those little charming elements, like, I still think, I know it's a newer, younger audience. That still could have played. Like, it played back then. I think it would have played now. I like the idea of what they did, like scanning and all that. I think they could have maybe expanded on that. But a lot of like the cool shit, I just felt like was rushed through.
Yeah.
And then again, the basketball game itself, it didn't have any of like the fun that the original one had. You know, there weren't moments. And then it goes back. Then you could even tie that back to the Looney Tunes thing. Like, there weren't like Looney Tunes moments. Like, really, like, maybe go, oh yeah, that's funny. I like that. You know. So a lot of granny, by the way.
And I was gonna say they tried to jam some in post halftime, but it wasn't the same. Like, I only had three final things in the raw quick. At the beginning of it, it felt like LeBron like settled in to his role. Like they shot all of his scenes in one day, and by the end of the day, he was better. Because the very beginning, when he's like talking to his younger son and his RG3 son,
inorganic.
Yeah, they felt like 2K cutscenes. Like,
yeah,
kind of standing there delivering them, and like a long pause waiting for the response. It was very strange.
The Dion Waiters one, remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
I have, why does LeBron always dress like that in movies? He just does not. We saw him last, like, he does not dress how he does in movies, how he does in real life. I get he's acting, but they dress him like a Banana Republic model in movies. It doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, he does not dress like that. And my last thing is, hugging is a foul. Like, that's very clearly a foul.
Yeah. Yep, 100%.
That was the one thing they kept true. The officiating in this game was garbage.
The basketball rules, like, and the basketball, I don't know, like, I get it was a wackier movie and a lot of shit. I don't know. I was just kind of surprised too that they didn't really make it basketball-y. Like, that was surprising to me. Like, it was, I know it's like hard to follow, and like, you don't watch the original Space Jam because it's like the game, but it was one of those weird like changes where like they almost went too far in a new direction. You're like, you could have replicated that a little bit. Like, kids know what basketball is. Like, it's, right. They're aware of the sport. You don't, you know, you can still do weird. I mean, somebody gets shot in the last one, right? Like, it's like you can do weird things on the court still without it needing to be so wild and weird. You're like, what the fuck? It's Kendrick. You kind of said it. You told me to say two words in the movie, it'd be sensory overload. That's really what it was.
And I think my big point was, you know, they tried to recapture the Goon Squad magic of the first one. And I don't think it worked that well in this
one. I think they looked awful. I think the design, the character design, were terrible.
Well, and I think a lot of it was just like, it goes back into just like the regular game of basketball where like we don't need like the super, you know, over the top superpowers of like a flying the brow or like whatever the character's supposed to be, or the Diana Taurasi like character, like, and you know, I'm all on board. Like, I think you can't get to like a bad guy basketball team without like having the incorporation of other basketball players in it. That's part of what made the first one fun in that sense. It just was like the implementation of this was like the whole thing obviously was around this like iOS type video game, and the implementation of them having these like weird powers felt very video gamey, which I guess was the intent, but it didn't really make for like a compelling, I don't know. I didn't like it.
There was this whole B plot in the first one that like has most of the iconic scenes from the first movie, like Charles Barkley at the playground, them going to church, them seeing the shrink. Was it, who did the shrink ask like if his dick was broken and he couldn't fuck his wife anymore? Like, that was in the first one.
Like, Bradley, for sure.
I don't think it was. I think it was.
No, it just seems like a Bradley thing.
Lacking on who was in the first. It was Larry Johnson, right, Tro?
Yeah, it was Larry Johnson.
Yeah, and I think it was him, and he had to turn around. It might have been Ewing. It might have been Ewing.
But it's just the weird. It's that weird thing where, like, I get they're not trying to redo it, but they also brought so many the elements. It's like, I don't know. I this was weird. This was a weird movie, and it was so weird too. So I watched it right after I saw Black Widow. I watched it late at night. Yeah. I was like, you know, I kind of have to watch this right now. Like, we had the screen, like, I need to see this. And I messaged our group. I was like, I don't know what the fuck I just watched. That was so fucking weird. And I watched it again, and I was like, what in the fuck? Just strange. Just a strange thing. And I've never seen a movie so obviously meddled with by the studio.
Yeah. And especially because that, knowing that the director got replaced so early, like in that stage of the process, it became very, very apparent very fast. And I like Trill's analogy of the radiation, because it does feel like, and I had to watch it twice as well. The feels like the first watch, I couldn't absorb anything because it was so difficult to get like to comprehend what was happening in this movie. The second watch, I think I latched on a little bit more and I liked it a little bit more. But that first time, it did feel like when you're playing like Fallout New Vegas or whatever, and like the radiation ticker, like the Geiger counter is going up as you're walking through it. It's like, warning, you're about to die, radiation poisoning, as you're walking through it.
Like, it's not affecting my main health bar, but I am sustaining like some level of just like
bleeding damage.
Yeah, some like undefined damage like happening somewhere else. And this is just a joke, but it's like, you've seen all this stuff, and I mean, gosh, I feel like there's like one I'm forgetting, but it's like one of so many. I'll say one positive thing about it. I was going back to the LeBron acting. I kind of liked him as a voice actor. I thought the animation scenes better than in person. Yeah. And look, also
at
like
in this,
and you're right about the first scene where it's like, I was like, oh, and he did get better. And then he got better even in the live action where like, cause I read some reviews. It's like, you know, the acting's kind of choppy, but I'm like, well, you know, it's tough to act on a green screen and all that stuff. He actually did better with the Looney Tunes characters than he did with other actors. So I liked him in like the voice roles, and I thought the 2D animation looked great. I thought the 3D animation, I just don't think the Looney Tunes characters should ever be in 3D animation like that. Like, I think, you know, as companies have brand standards guides, like, I think they should just draw the line at some of these characters and say like Bugs Bunny has to be 2D. Like, this is what Bugs Bunny is. But whatever. I'm not involved with WB because, like, if I was, Rami Malek's character from The Little Things would have been in this movie.
Yes, and Anne Hathaway's witch from The Witches, for sure. Both would have made an appearance.
The 3D thing didn't, I don't know, it didn't bother me.
It didn't bother me, but it just, it doesn't look right. It's not, you know, like, it's like a brand standard.
It wasn't a positive. It was just, I think you could call it like a net, like a zero or a negative. I don't think you consider it like a good thing, the 3D animation of them.
Well, you ever read like some, like, I mean, Jeff, you have, because you've like worked in social media and for these sort of things where you like read about a company's logo and how to use it. It's like, you should never stretch the logo. You should never blow up the logo. It's got to be 50 pixel by 50 pixel here. Like, it almost feels like you need that for the Looney Tunes and they should only be in 2D, because I just, the 3D, it's a radiation bar. Yeah. It adds to it. It's not doing anything for me, but it is bothering me a little bit and culminating in this Fallout New Vegas damage.
I love a good style guide. Ken Jack and I go on very strict guidelines for Oscars graphics, like very strict. It's like the most strict style guide in entertainment, except for the Olympics is the strictest style guide. If you put the Olympic rings on something, you're murdered. They kill you. They come to your house. They put you into the center of the earth. They say never again.
Did you see where they have these like cardboard beds for the athletes?
Oh, didn't
they do that the last Olympics? I feel like that's not a new story.
I don't know, but
there were some bad beds. I mean, look, you don't listen to this podcast and not know that I'm a massive Olympic junkie. I'm like bummed already. I don't know. It's like, just,
this is depressing.
Yeah. But there's rumors that maybe he can't, but apparently there was a chance Kelly Slater was going to be in the Olympics, which is awesome because Kelly Slater is the greatest athlete of all time.
Bald King.
400 time champion Kelly Slater.
I was like, when I say like, oh, that's a bald guy that looks good, and then like, then I'm like, I feel better about myself, and I realize he has like 3% body fat and it's like 6'3" and is also like one of the best at something ever. Then it made me feel like shit again.
Genuine specimen.
Anyway, that's the Olympics.
People are always like, oh, you buzz it, you get a Jason Statham 5'9". Vibe. And I'm like, do I look like Jason Statham? Fuck off.
I thought he was short my whole life, and then you said he's 6'3". He is. He's 5'9". You fucked me up there.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry, Jeff.
No, I mean, I don't really have much else. It's just a hard to explain. My biggest gripe with the movie is that it just felt like a big commercial. Like that's the thing. Like, I get a lot of the things to market to the kids and how it should fit and how it plays out. But for me, like, it almost just feels like you get duped a little bit. Like, LeBron, it's not like LeBron's not in the movie, but it just didn't feel like a LeBron movie at time. And like, I personally am a LeBron fan. This shouldn't be a surprise. I'm a Cavs fan, won a title. Like, I like LeBron. It's apparently doing well at the box office.
Oh, crossed.
Yeah, like, sure. Which is awesome.
You know, Black Widow, yeah.
You know what? Like, good for, you know, like, I think that's cool. And like, I also think like the story in too, and like talking about his kid and expectation of the kids and like the family mess or stuff, I thought that was cool as well. But the whole thing just feels so distracted from what was, I think, the original idea. It just feels like a big commercial for Warner Brothers. And I was hesitant to say that off the top before anyone saw it. I'm like, maybe I'm just being unfair, but you've seen it. That's what a lot of people. Yeah. A lot of people have said, and there's some reviews that really like it, some critics, but there's a couple that I've referenced that kind of nail. I got to find the one that I referenced the other day, but yeah, overall, I just weird. Oh, I will say this though, talking about things in the movie. I know everyone hated it when it first came out, but the jerseys were fine. They're not the iconic originals, but you know, they kind of looked like cool on screen. Yeah,
they fit in with the 3D animation, I thought. And it just pops because that whole world they're in has the lighting that complements it. So
it looked, and that world looked good. Like, I think the basketball court and all that, I think it looked like, even when Dom shoots up through the scoreboards, you see that in the trailer. Like, I thought a lot of that looked neat. Like, that was absolutely not the issue.
My last gripe, and I know we have to move on to the draft, but the first Space Jam, even people who don't like the movie, no, the soundtrack was a classic. And this soundtrack, there's a lot of names on the soundtrack I like. Terrible. Genuinely, I like them. I like this movie more than I thought I would. I hate the soundtrack more than I thought I would.
Needed more Curtis Blow. For sure.
That's the thing. The first soundtrack, they didn't try and make it for kids. They were like, oh yeah, let's just get Method Man. That's who the kids love. And this one, they were just like, oh no, we're making the soundtrack for kids too.
Yeah. I mean, the soundtrack obviously for the first one, like, stands by itself. Like, I remember owning the CD and listening to Hit 'Em High.
Oh yeah.
I love that song. And I love the whole soundtrack because it was good music. And I'm not saying this is good music too. It just, like, it feels like, whereas like that one was like, you know, I don't know how to explain it. It kind of just feels like the how the movie was made, right? Where we're just going to get a bunch of big names and we're going to put them on a soundtrack and it's not going to be cohesive. But then it makes sense because that's like kind of what this movie is, right? So like, look, I'm not going to be the old guy saying like, I miss like Seal, cause I do, but obviously like Seal, like Seal's not marketable to kids now. Like, right. Seal's a legend, but he's not going to like move the needles in the same way the Jonas Brothers having a song on this album would. I don't know.
It's wild. It's a wild, like, it just doesn't work. They have Kirk Franklin, Little Baby on, like, just doesn't work.
Wenlei Ma, who looks like it's from an Australian website, said, it's hard not to feel like you've been swimming in some WB marketing executive's wet dream for 2 hours.
Yeah,
we had a fan who made that comment too. It's like the there is a bit of irony in this with, like, it feels like it was made by an algorithm. Like, like some of the reference, like, it does. It's like Foghorn Leghorn is Daener. It's like,
It's Family Guy. It's a Family Guy episode of Space Jam.
It's like that one time Foghorn Leghorn was in Game of Thrones. Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah.
I like how that critic very politely said it's like you're swimming in cum. But like that's what he said. But
yeah,
he said it politely.
I was gonna say also, like, you know, big shout out to Don Cheadle, consummate professional. Like, he did what he had to do.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he kind of went all out.
I think he was probably the most enjoyable part of this movie.
I would agree.
Probably different takes on that, but I think with that character, it was so ridiculous to begin with. I think he was he was very entertaining as I think he was perfect, but it goes back to the whole thing. It's like, why couldn't we just do this in space? Space Jam. Like, why did it have to be in a computer? I don't know.
Also, can we talk about this quick snippet? Is this supposed to be sort of basketball reference? Brian Truitt from USA Today said, sorry, LeBron. Sorry, LeBron. Like, LeBron's reading it. Like, he's reading the USA Today. Yeah. Sorry, LeBron. This jam is ripe to be slammed.
What does that mean?
Do you mean like you have to, as in you slam the ball through the hoop, which you don't slam a jam. That's it.
I don't think we should discourage like movie reviewers going back to like the Gene Shalit style.
Yeah. Burns.
Like, that's really what we're missing. Like, Space Jam uses
the guy did it best. You can't try to top him.
Fruit that's obviously spoiled.
I'm trying to see if there's any. He doesn't. Gene Shalit on Rotten Tomatoes. There's only two movies. It's his filmography. I thought it was gonna be like his ratings.
I think Gene Shalit retired, right? Or he
is he alive?
I think his kid does. Or I don't want to say kid because they're a grown up, but
Is he alive?
I think he is.
He's 95.
Yeah. I mean, legend, obviously.
I love frying him up. Very good on a soup.
Oh,
terrible.
Come on.
What about what about the reference to the LeBron Dwayne Wade photo? They did.
I didn't hate it.
Not terrible. Couldn't be worse.
I mean, yeah. you kind of had to reference that. And then the other thing they got out of the way early was Big Chungus, right?
Yes.
Yes. Which, that's awesome. That was I will say that when that happened, when I watched it, that was a moment. That was funny. I like that. I'm glad they did that. But those are the things, like, they did that, but where was that sense for other things as well? That was kind of the weird thing. It's like,
The one thing that blew my mind that they did was they shoehorned in a 40-year-old Bobby Knight reference.
Yeah, that, I was waiting for you to bring that up. I almost forgot about that.
I did too. Yeah. And
Belichick, like, Belichick's Ron Emmerich sport.
Mm-hmm.
I just look at the camera went back to Don Cheadle wearing like the red sweatshirt, and I was like, no, they're not gonna do this, are they? They're gonna do this. And he threw the chair, and I'm like, oh my god, that's for people like me, that's for old people.
specifically you.
I like to imagine Bobby Knight's like watching that in theaters and goes, ah, fuck, gets up and walks out of the theater.
That's
can't
it.
Can't I've had me. Enough. That's it for Space Jam. Reminder of scores. I gave it a 35. Trill, you gave it a 45?
Yeah. No, it's like that's Chappie moment, except I get up and explain what it is to the theater. I give it a 45. Yeah.
Ken Jack, score again. Reminder.
I'll go back up. We already talked about the more I liked it. I'll go up to a 37. I was at a 32 originally. I'll go up to 37.
Very generous.
I'm last. Cole, you gave it a 65.
I thought I said 65? No.
No, you said like 50 something, right?
I said yep. 54.
You definitely did. You definitely did not say in the 60s. You are correct. No. Anyway, next time, later on in the week, we'll be doing Fear Streets part 1 through 3, which Fear Streets awesome. It's one of the bigger surprises.
Start it now, man. You got 3 movies to get through.
Yeah. And what day does it come out?
What? They're 23rd?
Are they all out?
They're all out.
They're all out. They're all out as of yesterday, I think, or like 2 days ago.
Yep.
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I actually think the third one has the highest ratings. Like, it just went up the whole time.
But the first one got better. The second one is better than the first. So if this one's better than both of those, it's going to be a legitimately very good movie.
There's actually 4 parts because the third one is split into 2 parts.
Mm. I don't believe you.
Okay, we'll watch the movie. I dare you.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I'm very excited. I'll probably watch it tonight. That's our Space Jam review. We were trying to come up with an idea, and Coley, we'll have you back once more in the Trill era, and obviously after that, to do something like cartoon-wise team building. But I do know, Trill, you and I, we couldn't figure out our idea here. We knew we'd talk about the movie for a while, but we both, I believe, are going to reference Roger Klotz at some point in this episode.
Yeah, I don't know why Roger Klotz has left such an impression on my brain, but it has. He has. And then you too. Didn't like a couple episodes again, I take your first pick as well?
Yeah, I forget what exactly. You took a very obscure pick. I also like it. It's always blown my mind that Roger Klotz wasn't reverse bullied. That's a bullyable last name, Klotz.
Yeah, because he dresses like a reboot of Grease.
Yeah, he dresses out of era.
He looks like fucking. He looks like Fonzie with bacon hair.
The cool kid in the school was named Chalky Studebaker. Like,
that's a cool name, though. That's an admittedly very cool name.
The best part about Doug, though, was his dumbass neighbor, Mr. Dink, which was a reference because they didn't have a kid. I don't think it was a reference to Dual Income, No Kids, and that was a deep cut joke. But like, he'd always like come over and Doug would be like, "What are you doing, Mr. Dink?" He's like, "I got this new machine that fucking eats golf balls and shit." Doug would be, "Wow, real cool. By the way, Roger's terrorizing me. Can you help me?" And Mr. Dink said, "No."
Very progressive couples. The wife was the mayor.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Well, ahead of its time, but also behind because he's dressed like a doo-wopper guy.
Tippingdale Dink.
And he that was sucks, having last name Dink,
Bud Dink. the episode of Doug that always scarred me. This is why I don't help out old people. Was Doug one time found some old woman's like wallet or something, and she gave him a stick of gum as like his reward. I'm like that pretty sure that's a. I think that happened. And that's why I don't help old people now. I don't be rewarded with a stick of gum.
Gum's not enough to get low out of bed.
Here's like a stick of winter fresh. Like, nah, pass.
who is the best character on Doug? Who is the MVP of Doug?
Probably the Beats.
It was Judy Funny for me.
You were Judy Funny?
I love Judy Funny, which is like the whole like art. Like hippie thing you could do a joke of in 1994 because it was still like 20 years removed, but you can't do that anymore because nobody would get it.
Judy Funny's a very out there pick as top, but I guess it's a decent explanation.
I just love Judy Funny because she was she wasn't like Doug. She had interests that went beyond the beats.
You've now convinced me that Mr. Dink is the best character.
I loved him. He was the Wilson of Doug. Hey, Mr. Dink.
It was like a reverse Dennis the Menace situation. Like, Doug was always annoyed by his older neighbor.
Yeah, Mr. Dink's like, hey, Doug, come back. I'm talking like Bill Clinton now. He's like, hey, Doug, come help me with my new Traeger grill. That's not going to be released for 30 years, Mr. Dink. That's a bad reference.
Boy, there are quite a few Mr. Dink fan art pictures.
Ooh. Sure.
Rule 34.
Like good or bad? Like,
there's one where he's really angrily pointing and it says, you broke my grill.
Oh, that actually goes back to my reference I just made. Yeah. Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Trill's been making deviant art, Mr. Dink.
Ah, and there it is. There's Mr. Dink with his dick out. And that's how we're
going. You're welcome.
And that's how we will end this episode. Space Jam 2, A New Legacy, in theaters or on HBO Max. It's still like, I had a fun time, but also like, what the fuck? Oh, come on. Stop sending those. Look how fat his dick is. Stop sending those pictures. That's awful.
That's oh my god,
awful.
I can someone text Nicole? I don't know my phone. I need him to see the Mr. Dink with a fat cock picture.
All right, that's gonna be the last reaction. Hang on, I'm gonna text
somebody walking into the Best Buy to buy a Wacom tablet and they do that with it.
Imagine that you spend all that time god. In Best Buy just to all right, just send it to Nicole. Live reaction of Nicole.
Live reaction.
Thanks, Jeff.
See, delivered.
Oh, what a hog.
See?
It's like in his belly. Oh, he's loving it.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I love fucking my own purple belly button.
Oh, fuck. All right. That's it for Ken, Jack, and Trill and Coley. Fear Street later on in the week. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks. It's a cool summer.
You're gone, you're not the only one. It's a cruel.